Good evening. We just came back from our pilgrimage to the Holy Land last week. It was a great pilgrimage. We had a great time. We saw the beautiful places, the historical places where Jesus was born, where he walked and performed miracles, where he died and rose again in Jerusalem. We had a great tour guide with us while we were in the Holy Land, and he was excellent. He was explaining everything in detail. He knew everything, the history. Excellent. On the last day of our trip, he told us this story, which I would like to share with you. There was an elderly couple, who visited the Holy Land some time ago. While they were there, the wife got sick, very sick, and unfortunately, she died. The husband contacted a local funeral director, and the funeral director gave him two options. Option number one, we can bury your wife here in the Holy Land, and that would cost you only $150. Option number two, we can ship her body to your homeland, to the States, but that would cost you $10,000. The husband thought for a moment and then replied, I want her body to be shipped to my homeland, to the States. And the funeral director said, why, sir? You know, it is much cheaper to bury her here in the Holy Land. Why want to ship her? That is so expensive. And her husband replied, several years ago, a man died here, and he was buried right here in this place. And I also heard that on the third day, he rose again from the dead. So I don't want to take any chances. Brothers and sisters, our life does not end with death. Death is a passage to eternity. We are created for eternity. God created us to know him, to love him, and to be one with him in eternity. That is our final destination. Our life here on earth is just journey. We are just passing by here. Our final destination is in heaven, our homeland. And this is the fundamental truth that we believe. Because of our Christian faith, our faith helps us to believe in this eternal life. This is called the Christian optimism that St. Paul teaches in today's second reading. We heard St. Paul beautifully explains to the people at Thessalonica to whom he wrote his letter. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware of those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like those who have no hope. Because there were people who were grieving and they were feeling hopeless. After death, what? So St. Paul experienced that in the Christian communities there. So he was assuring them by telling them of this, teaching them this fundamental truth that we believe as Christians, that there is hope for us after our death. We do not want you to grieve like those who have no hope. Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so too our God, through Jesus Christ, will raise those who have fallen asleep. In other words, we will rise again at the last day, the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, and he will come again to to raise us up on that last day. This is the fundamental truth that Christianity teaches. And that gives us hope for our life here on earth. We have something to look forward to. Unlike those of other people who have no hope, who do not believe. They feel despair and lost in their life. They have nothing to hope for. Whereas we have a great hope that makes us joyful people. Jesus taught this fundamental truth when he came to this world. He came to teach us and to prepare us for that eternity. He not only by teaching, by his own very life, he has proven that there is life after death by his own rising from the dead. In today's gospel parable, Jesus points to that being prepared for to meet the Lord when he comes. That is in the context of eternity. One day, we all have to say goodbye to this world. And there is a need for us to be prepared when the Lord comes to judge us. We do not know the time, but we need to be prepared. Like the 10 virgins who were supposed to be waiting for the bridegroom to come with lighted lamps. They are supposed to be waiting. And the bridegroom will show up anytime he likes. You know, in some countries, it is the bride who is always late for the wedding. You know that? Yeah, I have done several weddings and I have waited for the bride. Where is the bride? Sometimes the bride would show up after 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Where was she? She was in the beauty parlor doing the makeup. So that's a common practice in some countries. But it was not so. It was totally different in Israel at the time of Jesus. Where it is the bridegroom's privilege to delay the wedding. The bridegroom shows up when he likes, when he is ready, whether it is midnight or past midnight. And the bride and the bridesmaids have to be awake and waiting so that when the bridegroom comes, they are ready to receive him and then proceed in procession, go to the bridegroom's house and they have the celebration there, the wedding celebration, which would usually last the whole night. And even goes for days. No wonder why they ran short of the wine in Cana in Galilee. No? When Jesus and Mary were invited. Because the party was a long party. They had lots of wine they needed. No? That's where Jesus had to perform the first miracle in Cana, Galilee. At the request of his mother Mary. Because they ran out of wine. They were celebrating the whole night. Yeah, we visited the very same place where Jesus performed the first miracle in Cana, Galilee. And we saw the jar in which the water turned into wine. Just kidding. But in the parable that Jesus told, the bridesmaids were waiting for the bridegroom, but he never showed up. So what happened? As time went on, they grew drowsy and they fell asleep. And past midnight, there was a cry. The bridegroom is here. Get ready to receive him. So the bridesmaids got up and they trimmed their lamps and they were ready to receive the bridegroom. But what happened? 5 of the bridesmaids were wise. They had brought with them extra oil. Whereas the other 5 were foolish ones. They didn't have enough oil in their lamps. And the lamps were going out. So they requested, can we borrow some from you, from the wise ones? And the wise ones said, no, we are not going to share the oil. That cannot be shared. You need to earn it. The oil is the good work, the virtue that we earn in our life. That cannot be given to somebody else. Each one has to earn that. Have it for yourself. So go and buy some from the merchants. And while they went, the bridegroom appeared. And the 5 wise bridesmaids, together with the bridegroom, entered the wedding banquet and the door was closed. when the foolish ones finally returned from the after buying oil, when they returned, it was too late. And they were not granted permission to enter the wedding banquet. They were left behind. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And we are the bridesmaids, the church, the Christian community. And we are called to be on constant watch and prepared. For the Lord will come at an hour or the day we do not know. We should be prepared so that we will be counted worthy to enter that wedding banquet, eternal wedding banquet in heaven, when the Lord comes. Yes, how prepared are we to meet the Lord? We live in this world which is just follow the material philosophy, no? And the worldly wisdom which tells that material or temporary pleasures and comforts and material things would suffice. And they neglect or even deny the existence of the supernatural or the life beyond this world. They deny that. They ignore it. We need to fight this culture of promoting this materialism which negates or denies life after or eternal life. That there is much more to our life than what is here in this world. We are all created for eternity. And that's why we Christians have this beautiful gift given to us. The best gift that the Lord offers us is eternity, eternal life. What more can we ask for from the Lord than making sure or securing a place in eternal life after our life here on earth? Now the question is, how prepared are we when the Lord comes? Where do we belong when the Lord comes? Among the five wise ones or among the five foolish bridesmaids? Amen.